You are Locked On Chargers, your daily Los Angeles Chargers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And now, here is your host, Matthew Stanley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Chargers. I'm your host, Matthew Stanley. For those of you who don't know yet, I am an assistant editor and writer over at BoltsForTheBlue.com. And today we are back with another episode featuring myself and Michael Peterson. Michael, for those of you who didn't hear yesterday, is in Mobile, Alabama, and he is at the Senior Bowl. And I called him on the phone to give a rundown of what he saw at practice yesterday. And today's episode, I also asked him about any rumors he heard flying around, because whenever a bunch of sports media gets together like that, and a bunch of team sources like scouts and stuff, there's always rumors that start flying around. So I asked him what he's been hearing post practice when everybody's out having a couple drinks. So I've got that up for you, and then Michael will be back again tomorrow to wrap up the. I think today's the final day of practice, so he'll be there to recap this final day of practice, and. Yeah, so without further ado, here is Michael Peterson joining me again.
All right, so we're back with day two. I've got Michael Peterson again. Michael, how was yesterday?
Yesterday was honestly a better day than day one. It just seemed like there was a lot more energy about the stadium, and the practices were a little bit longer because we had team photos as well, but a lot more big names actually roaming the sidelines. Alabama's head coach, Nick Saban, made a stop. Only dude with security around him, but, you know, it was understandable when he had the mob that, you know, pretty much rushed him. He was on the sidelines. And then, believe it or not, Jerry Jones was there without security, just sitting in the stands smoking a cigar.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. So there was just, like, he didn't realize it, but some of the bigger names that, you know, in the country and the sport were there, and some were a little more low-key and some were not. But, no, in general, it was a really good day.
Awesome. So with it being a better day, who were some names that you feel improved from day one to day two?
Off the top of my head, Jamon Moore, a receiver from Missouri, I think was one of the, not a later addition, but definitely not one of the first to get his invitation here. But day one, when I was watching receivers for a little bit, had some drops, more of like concentration drops. And just looked like, you know, he was kind of uncomfortable out there, but he had a really strong day two, caught the balls, all the balls that he needed to, that he should have. And, as far as I know, didn't see any horrible drops from him. And then, a tight end from Indiana named Ian Thomas. He's probably a name that not a lot of people have heard of, but he's a very athletic looking tight end. I want to say he's about 6'4", maybe a tad under that. Probably about a solid 245, 250, moves really well. He's got a lot of natural athleticism. And I believe some of my guys here said that he was talking with some Chargers scouts after practice. So I'm not sure, you know, if we're really leaning towards tight end, but he was one of the two guys that I heard the Chargers were looking at and spoke to post-practice. And then one of the guys who really impressed was a guy named Brian O'Neill. Day one, he's a right tackle out of Pitt, and he used to play tight end. It beefed him up a little bit to play offensive line. He was the left tackle for the Panthers this past season. And you could tell he's got all this athleticism in the world from being a tight end. He's 6'6", I want to say just about at 300 pounds, and moves super, super well. Long strides, fluid in his running motion. And he had one splash play where he started at right tackle, and he kind of did a little pull and got out in space on kind of a wide toss for the running back. He lashed onto this poor corner that just happened to be in his way and drove him and pancaked him out of bounds, just fully took him out of the play. And it was really, really cool. So after a first day where he really didn't show too much, he didn't really pop at all, he definitely made a splash yesterday with that play.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's awesome to hear, man. It's fun watching these guys like really start to get into a groove and show out and, you know, honestly make themselves some money at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what a lot of guys are here for, not just to, you know, kind of be invited and kind of ride along those coattails, but a lot of guys are like, okay, now I've been, you know, voted one of the best in the country now. A lot of them have the same mindset of, well, it's time to show that I might be the best in the country. And I really like talking to those guys here. You can just tell that they're not satisfied, and this is kind of only beginning for their, their journey all through the NFL draft. So it's really cool to be around.
So who lost the money yesterday? Who regressed a little bit yesterday?
I got a couple names, actually. There are probably some names you haven't heard too much about. First one is a cornerback from South Carolina named Jamarcus King. When you were watching one-on-ones with wide receivers, DBs, Deshaun Hamilton out of Penn State, their wide receiver, who might argue would be the best receiver here after 2 days. He's just putting on a route running clinic. And Jamarcus King out of South Carolina just happened to be the guy to line up in front of him for a handful of plays. And that really, really, really did not do him any favors. And then Tanner Lee is a quarterback from Nebraska, who, again, I think was a transfer from BYU prior to being at Nebraska. But he was the last QB added, I think, after one dropped out. And he's had a real roughshod time here down in Mobile. He had a really bad interception day one. There was a lot of people on social media saying that they were just didn't understand how he was even here in the first place, which is pretty harsh. But he really hasn't done much, you know, according to his play, to do himself any favors. Was about the two names off the top of my head. Everyone's having a pretty solid day as far as, you know, me watching the offensive line for the most part. No one really stood out as, you know, just shouldn't belong or anything like that. So there's a few names for you.
Awesome. I know that after practices and stuff, a lot of you guys are hanging out in the hotel and you know, you're obviously hanging out in the stands and stuff. Have there been any fun or interesting rumors you've heard going around?
Yeah, actually a couple of them popped up yesterday that are actually pretty interesting. The first one is that it was reported that the Titans met with Josh Allen with, quote, complete privacy, that they requested to have complete privacy with Josh Allen. And, you know, knowing the Titans have a young quarterback, Marcus Mariota, that kind of makes you wonder, you know, if Vrabel's stepping in and really trying to make, you know, a big first impression and do something kind of huge with how he wants the Titans to go from here on out. So I thought that was probably the most interesting thing coming out of Mobile last night. And then this one's a little, not really off the record, but it wasn't like, you know, during business hours here at Mobile. Well, we're at an establishment across the street from the hotel where everything's happening. And I cannot name, you know, names, obviously, but someone came around and let's just say he knows his stuff with the NFL. He's affiliated with the NFL and he's one of the big names out there. Well, some of my guys from Breaking Football were out front and they just started talking with them and got him to answer a question. They asked him, who does he think is going to go number one overall? And his response was Sam Darnold. And, you know, it was later in the evening, so his answer wasn't the most articulate. But when asked why, he just said that Josh Rosen is a sort of an a-hole. Baker Mayfield is sort of an a-hole. So he thought it would really come down to, like, personalities with those guys. And Sam Darnold, he said, has come off as the best just young man in the group. And he really thinks that's what's going to be the difference of him going number one over these other quarterbacks.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. I saw a rumor the other day on Walter Football's website, which I know a lot of people don't really like his website, and you know he's always doing the unnamed sources thing. But I did see rumors from day one of the Senior Bowl that one of their guys was hearing that Josh Rosen may have the same kind of rumor swirling around that Joey Bosa and Ezekiel Elliott had coming out that he's kind of a partier and that he might like some party substances. So that's pretty interesting to hear it now from somebody else as well, that his personality might be rubbing some people the wrong way.
Yeah. And you'd like to think, you know, if it's true that teams kind of have that, you know, that morality clause in themselves where they want to take, you know, the best person in general, not so much the best player, but with Baker kind of doing his thing down here and Rosen looking like might be the consensus QB1 for a lot of the top guys. I know it'll be a hard decision for those evaluators.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. All right, well, do you have any other final thoughts before I let you go here? I know that Thursday is usually the best practice day, so I want to make sure you get plenty of time to head over and get a good seat.
Yeah, man. We'll probably head out here in a little bit. I know some of my guys are doing some pods and doing a little bit of work before we head over. But as far as what I'm looking forward to today, I'd like to be able to watch the QBs a little bit more. Again, after day two, Josh Allen was looking like he, you know, still kind of making those, again, head-scratching throws. And there was actually a video someone posted about Baker and Josh Allen were on the field early getting in some work, and they had that throwing net out with, like, you know, the three holes at varying heights on the net. And someone recorded Josh Allen throwing it at the net and literally missing the entire area of the net, not just missing the little hole. You know, there's three of them on the net, so he could have hit all any of these throws or even just hit the damn thing. He flat out threw it over. And what's super funny is then later in the practice, he overthrew Jaleel Scott, who is a almost six-six receiver out of New Mexico State, who has, I think, an 82-inch wingspan, and flat out overthrew this man. So after seeing the net thing, and then later in practice, having him do that to literally, I think, the tallest receiver here is just, again, head-scratching kind of facepalm moment. So it's just when he makes these throws, those ones where he, you know, he flashes arm talent and, you know, hits those deep outs and NFL throws, you know, on a dime. It's just super. I like to see the quarterbacks, you know, someone step up other than Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen. And then with the offense, again, finding a guy who just wants to dominate all 3 days. I think that's going to be big for me, finding a guy who's come to play all 3 days and play super well. And I guess kind of look at the rest of the prospects as well. I've kind of been dove into the offensive linemen and helped kind of broaden my horizon and see what I can see.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually speaking of that real quick, I just wanted to bring up to you that it's a real shame that Nathan Shepard broke his hand yesterday and you won't be able to see him.
Believe it or not, I literally, we just got to the hotel, and before I called you, we walked by him. He walked by, and he had a cast on his hand. And so it was just kind of like, oh, looks like we don't have to, you know, dig for any news. There he is. We see how bad it is. And fortunately, it's going to be no surgery in 2 to 3 weeks on the recovery. So very unfortunate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very fortunate that we couldn't see him for the rest of the week and the game, obviously. 2 to 3 weeks, it shouldn't be too big of a, you know, a hit to his stock. I think he did well enough on day one and half a day two to get people buzzing about him.
Yeah, there's definitely buzz. I retweeted a bunch of video clips this morning. Somebody went through his tape and just started posting a bunch of pictures that, you know, it's really what you want to see on film from a D2 guy is that if he played in D2 and he wants, you know, and he wants draft consideration, his tape has to perfect. He has to be, you know, just dominating everyone at his level of competition. And he really was. All these videos I've seen are just him just throwing guys. He's just so stupidly strong. I think he did do enough. Does he have a combine invite?
Off the top of my head, I do not think so. I'd like to see him. He's one of those guys who, you know, has been flashing enough where it'd be almost wrong to not get a combine invite. But there's some guys here like you at UCF's Shaquem Griffin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's out here, and I shit you not, he has been one of the fastest off-the-ball linebackers. I mean, off the snap, he's relentless. He looks like an animal fighting to survive when he rushes the passer, and it's been incredible to see him. But unfortunately, he's one of these guys who does not have a standing invite to the combine, and that's generated a lot of buzz here of just sort of outrage that, you know, he's such a good player. He's a second-team All-American. And for some reason, he's not getting an invite to the NFL Combine. It's unfortunate. It's pretty ridiculous. But hopefully some things change. And same with Shepard. He showed so much against, you know, the talent that will for sure be there at the Combine. And I think after doing enough of that, you know, he's deserved to be there.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, man, for giving us an update. And we'll definitely be talking to you again tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Look forward to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
You got it.
So again, that was Michael Peterson. You can find him on Twitter at Chargers Lately. And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Lockdown Chargers. Michael and I will be back again tomorrow morning for a recap of today's practice. You can find me on Twitter at BoltFanInDenver or over at LockedOnLAC. And have a great day, everybody. Enjoy.